So let's start in Ephesians 3:1. Ephesians 3:1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So this morning I'd like to present somewhat of an illustration to you on why we magnify Paul's office as our apostle for this current dispensation, the church, the body of Christ. We have talked many times in past how we dispensational right dividers are accused of worshiping Paul. Happens quite a lot. Or people might say, I follow Jesus, not Paul, right? If you have listened or watched or come here and listened to Steve preach on the Jay Witte series, Jesus Wasn't Talking to You, you will find out that you are not, in fact, following Jesus. We in this church do not worship Paul as Christ. This accusation is typically a knee-jerk reaction from those who essentially reject the message that was given to Paul. And if you continue to learn and grow in the truth that was given to him and you teach and preach to others, you will find it more commonly than other times. Those who reject the message given to Paul do so because most have not heard it preached at their church. So this doctrine that Paul writes about in Scripture is automatically rejected. That just cannot be true. I haven't heard that from seminary. I haven't heard it from my pastor. I have not heard that from my training on Saturday mornings. Did you know that the Lord Jesus calls Paul his chosen vessel? In Acts 9:15, let's look at that. Acts 9:15. In Acts 9:15 it says, But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. In verse 16 he says, For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. In Romans 11:13, Paul himself says he was sent to the Gentiles and says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. Why? Why would he magnify his office? Because it was kept a secret. It was a secret that was kept hidden since the world began in Romans 16:25. Turn over to Romans 16:25 real quick. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Christ Jesus, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. In 26 it says, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
Amen.
Paul knew this was given to him first. He received this message personally from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Galatians 1:12, 1 Thessalonians 4:2. Galatians 1:12 says, for I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Thessalonians says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by Jesus Christ. This wasn't something he was taught of men. He said when he was with the apostles, they added nothing to him. By the way, Paul didn't want worship. He rejected it. In Acts 14:12, I don't think I got that written down though. Okay, Acts 14:12, and they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands and unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. He didn't want it. They thought, well, maybe we should worship this guy. He's got a new message. He has a given to a new audience with a new destiny, right? Paul denies that worship and directs their attention back to worshiping Jesus Christ. Paul is not to be worshiped. But God did give him the office of an apostle. He was given a message personally from Jesus Christ to present it to us in this present dispensation. If we are to worship and obey God, we should follow the message that was given to Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are rejecting that message, you are in fact rejecting Jesus Christ. So I want to present an illustration. I'm going to do my best here. I tried to think about this in a way that might help all of you. It kind of helped me. And so I'm going to start drawing. Just give me some patience. Yeah. It's like Jeopardy, right? I don't know the guy's name, but he's on a roll. He's past 2 million. All right. So this illustration, I want you to think of a building. And this building is massive. Okay, when you walk in this building, once the door is closed, you're stuck. You're not leaving. Okay? But you walk in this building, there's a hallway, and in this hallway there are 613 doorways. Of course, the evens are on the left, the odds are on the right. Now you can think about this as a hotel, as whatever, a hospital, whatever you want to think of it as. But this building has a huge hallway, doors on the left, doors on the right, 613 doors. When you open one of those doors, all you see is stairs. You're in a stairwell. You look up, and you look up in the rail. You ever been in one of those buildings where you, man, that's a huge stairwell. So, let's see if I can do this. Uh-oh. Go slower. No, I'm not going to throw this one out. Stairwells. You ever been one of those paths in a park where they tell you to stop and do some exercises? All along these stairways, you might stop and see that there are rules and things you have to do to get up to the next level. So as you're going up these stairs, you ever been in a stairwell? It just keeps on going. Ever been in a building where the elevators broke? Elevators are down. You have to take the stairs. So remember, you're in a building that has doors on both sides, 613 of them. Evens on the left, odds on the right. Every door you open up, there's a stairwell. And this is all you see is steps. And once you get to the next level, wherever that's at in those stairs, you open up the door, there's another set of stairs. And you look up, there's more stairs. I don't like that building either. Isn't this similar to what the Israelites had to do with their law? What's the vehicle that they're using to get up those stairs? Their legs. They're doing the work, right? They have to do the work to get up the steps. Every single door has its own set of stairs. You can't get out of this building. Every day you go up into open a new door. Whatever number is on that door, another set of stairs. Get to work. Where are you going? Trying to get to the top floor. Every time you open up a new level, oh my goodness, I gotta keep doing this. Every single door. You got to work. You got to put the work in. Get up these stairs. And it doesn't end. You look in Deuteronomy 10. Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13. Let's look at that real quick. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee for this day for thy good. Deuteronomy 28:13. What happens if we do all those things? This is Israel. Sorry, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all the blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee. And if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of the body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and increase in thy kine, and all the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed, blessed, blessed. And you will get all those blessings if and when you continue to follow everything that is required of you to do the work. And if you decide one day, I'm sick of these steps. I'm not stepping on another stairway. I'm not opening another door. What happens? Check out verse 14, which nobody likes to look at. Cursings! And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, and all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou the basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed, cursed, cursed. Nobody wants to read that. When you stop doing the work, when you stop doing the commandments, when you stop doing the law that he has clearly required Israel to do, you're cursed. Cursing, vexation, and rebuke. And now what? Are you following the whole law today? No, but you want the blessings. But that's not Deuteronomy. That's not what Deuteronomy says is going to happen, right? If you're not doing all what he requires, his commandments, keeping feast days, keeping all of the law, doing the work. So now I want you to consider this. After Jesus does his work on the cross, we come to Acts 2. By the way, that is in Luke 1:70. Zacharias, after he receives his sight again. In verse 67 it says, And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. There's a difference between him and Paul's message, right? So in Acts 2, which Steve did a message about Acts 2 recently, right? Now keep in mind this building that has stairs 613 hallways. How many of you have ever been on a people mover? Like the airports. It goes in a straight line. It's not an escalator, although escalators are fun too. Just don't get caught on one, right? No baggy clothes. I want you to think about Acts 2 like this. All the stairs in these buildings, the long hallway, is now a people mover. All you got to do is stand there, and it's moving you along. And there's a little bit more space now where you can step off and open the door. And then when you open the door, there are no more steps, but they are escalators moving you. I want you to think of those escalators as the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit is doing is putting the law into those hearts of those men and women, where they're no longer doing the work. The Holy Spirit is the vehicle now. The Holy Spirit puts the law in their hearts to help them be able to do the law and the requirements. Makes it a lot easier, right? The only way that they can actually make that disappear is to physically climb off of an escalator. I've done that before. Don't try it. I was much younger then. You got the two that are going up and down at the same time? Yeah. You just hop off and... My teens. Right. But anyways, these escalators are what's moving these people up and down. Taking the work off of them, helping them to do the law and the commandments. So we got power going to these things. Holy Spirit helping them along, doing the work for them. All they got to do is be present, right? Taking them from one place to another. Now let me see if I can get perspective here. Remember, in this building, once you get in, you can't get out. This is strictly... Strictly Israel when they were doing the work. But now we see something changed. Read Ezekiel 36:26. Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. and 28. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. So that's your escalator. But there's something else going on after Acts 2. You see the Gentiles are starting to receive the Holy Spirit, right? Cornelius had a dream. Said to go talk to Peter, right? For some reason, I don't have that written down. But I drew this to give you a perspective. So the power is going in these escalators. But then all of a sudden with Paul, there's something new that happens. Let's turn to Colossians 1, verse 27 to 28. So let's start at 25. Colossians 1, 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages from generations, but is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. You in Christ, and Christ in you. Once you believe and have faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's like walking into an elevator. You are in Christ. You are placed in Christ. And there are no more steps. There is no more work. Right?
Amen.
You don't have to do the works and the commandments of the law, which he fulfilled when he came. You are placed in Christ, and you have direct access to the top. There are no more levels. It's automatic.
Praise God.
Your position is in Christ. Once you walk through these doors, you accept Christ, you accept what he did on the cross, you are placed in Christ. He is the vehicle now. And where is he now? At the right hand of God, right? You are in Christ is where you are placed according to God's plan. Your position is in Christ. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised him up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Since you are placed in Christ, then Christ is yours. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 18 and 21. Ephesians 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Your position is in Christ. The imputation of righteousness by faith is due to you being in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it is His righteousness imputed unto you.
Amen.
Let's look at 2 Corinthians real quick. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He did the work. You cannot do anything to gain what you already have in Christ Jesus. This has been shut down. The doors, these doors have been chained up. There is no more access at this point to this building. This is the only entrance now. What happened between Acts 2 and Acts 9, the way I see it, the way I illustrate it, it helps me understand, is slowly but surely the power got shut off to these escalators. One by one, the power got shut down here, and this one, the power slowly started coming up here. You got that transitional phase, right? So slowly the power started getting shut off. All the lights started going out. And then all the lights started coming on. Here. You and Christ concerned you being in His body. The BOC, the body of Christ, right? We are put into one body by the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We are put into that body by the Spirit in a fellowship with Christ when we trust the gospel of Christ. Ephesians 3:9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen.
If you move over a couple pages, if you have your finger there, in 5:30, Ephesians 5:30 says, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." We are the members of His body. So if you in Christ is where you are placed according to God's purpose, then Christ in you is where He is placed according to God's purpose. You receive Christ in you when you heard and trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1:13, Colossians 2:6, you in Christ concerns what Christ does toward you. Christ in you is what Christ performs in you and through you. Upon salvation, we are not only moved to a new place in Christ as a new creature, but we are changed from the inside out with Christ in us. We are not placed in Israel. We are not placed in covenant or religion, but into Christ, and there by grace.
Amen.
We do not receive the law in our hearts, or thoughts of positive thinking, or hope of healings, but Christ. This is a mystery of Christ and the church. Our job is to understand with a comprehensive knowledge of it and make all men see it. And that's Ephesians 5:32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So, when you do not believe and you reject the message that Paul has given to you, what you're doing is you're trying to break in this building right here, go inside, and pull something out and try to put it back in your new position in Christ. Stop trying to drag old furniture into something new, modern, and use it and say, "Look how great this is." This is not our position. I say this all the time. We have been given a better deal.
Amen.
We don't have to work on the steps anymore. Again, this has been shut down. It's abandoned. And it's not in use. I've been into an abandoned building before. Do not want to be there. Our desire for you is Ephesians 3:14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness, with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen."
Amen.
And I will close with that. Sorry, Ted had his hand up first.